churches that planted other churches. So we think about it. Peter stands up in Acts 2 and on the day of Pentecost, and he proclaims the gospel, and 3,000 people are added, and we get this first church that is planted in Jerusalem. And we know from, you know, Acts 2:42, it was an incredible church. They were devoted to God, devoted to one another, devoted to the lost. It was just an incredible community. And when you're devoted to God and devoted to one another and devoted to the lost, you grow. And so this community grows from 3,000, and then a couple of chapters later, we're told that they're 5,000 men. So I'm guessing this church is 12,000, right? Because there's always more women than men, correct? So it's at least 12,000 people. Like, that's without kids. So this is like a church that is growing and healthy and really amazing, but a church that had actually got off on mission, right? Because the Great Commission wasn't to go to Jerusalem, but actually to go to the ends of the earth. But they got off to such a good start that they didn't want to go anywhere else. And how many people know that God has a way of seeing his plans and purposes fulfilled? He won't actually be stopped just by a group of disobedient people who don't really want to do what he's saying. And so there's this persecution that happens, right? And everybody except the leaders get scattered. And then we get this group that goes off to Antioch, and they begin to proclaim the gospel there. And this is like a big breakout moment, because in Jerusalem, we've had it amongst the Jews, but now they're proclaiming it to the Gentiles, and lo and behold, loads and loads of people respond to the gospel. And what's really cool about these guys in Antioch is they could have thought, well, we don't really need the leaders in Jerusalem at all. Like, they've been left in Jerusalem, but we're out there on the frontiers and God's blessing us. We don't need them at all. But that wasn't their attitude. They call for Barnabas, and Barnabas comes and he teaches. And then we're told that a large number of people are saved, added to the large number of people that are already saved. And Barnabas checks this out, and then he thinks, hey man, I need Saul here just to come help me to establish this thing. So for a year and a half, they're preaching in Antioch. It's an awesome thing. This church continues to grow. And then in Acts 13, we have this leadership team described, this eldership team that is formed in Antioch. And they're busy praying and worshiping the Lord when all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit says, set apart Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them to. Like, whoa, hang on, it was pumping in Jerusalem, and now it's pumping in Antioch, and why do you want to send Barnabas and Saul away? Well, no, you need to send them to the work that I've called them to. And so after they'd fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. And these guys go, and they preach the word in loads of different places. In fact, we get this kind of summary description of what they do in Acts 14, where it says, they preached the gospel in that city and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and then encouraging them to remain true to the faith. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, they said. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord in whom they had put their trust. So what happens? Jerusalem church is planted. What happens then? Antioch church is planted. Then what? They send out some leaders and multiple churches are planted. These guys cycle back and they appoint elders in each of the churches that were planted. What we see in the pattern in the New Testament is that in order to obey the Great Commission, we need to plant churches that plant churches. And then evidence of those churches is that there's eldership teams leading those communities to Christ and to his call. So what Steph has spoken about this evening is actually a blueprint that we see in the New Testament. It isn't like, well, what are they doing? Why are they doing that? Well, it's actually in the Bible. It's a pattern that we see that Jesus wants to use to fill the earth with his glory as the water covers the sea. So firstly, notice the pattern. Secondly, process. It's possible that you kind of came tonight and you weren't part of one of the other groups that kind of heard this already, and you're just kind of hearing this and it's like, wow, that kind of seemed really quick. Isn't this like a little bit hasty? Shouldn't we just kind of slow up and think about this a little more carefully? And I'm just here to say that as a friend of this church, I've been a part of these conversations actually for over a year now. I've had different individual conversations with some of the guys. But in August, when I was with you with the One Tribe time, I didn't just speak on the Sunday. The guys had me back on the Monday, and there was like a little staff thing. And then they said, hey, we'd love to just chat a few things over with you. It'd be like an hour and a half. Be really cool. And kind of 5 hours later, I left the meeting being very stimulated, because if I get into one of these kind of process strategy meetings, I kind of come alive. And so in that meeting was Steph and Glenn and Paul, and we just looked at the church and we just dreamed. We looked at like multiple different models about how things could work and what could operate. And our understanding in terms of advance isn't that the external voice comes in and tells local elders what to do. We're here to advise and to help, but the final human governance and authority in the local church is an eldership team. So I wasn't here to issue decrees. I was here with my mates to let's think and dream and what could this look like. And we had a 5-hour conversation around different permutations, and we didn't come to a conclusion. We just chatted about it, and the guys needed to think about it, and some of the guys were like, Steve, I hope that was okay. And it's like, totally fine. Totally cool. Let's just chat about it. A couple of other conversations after that. And then in around mid-November, Steph came to chat to me, having reflected on what we had chatted about in August, and we had had conversations earlier last year than August. That wasn't the first conversation. And he was just sharing what was on his heart, a kind of summarized version of what he's shared with you this evening. And he asked me what I thought, and for me, just listening to him, the key thing that I look at when I'm working with other leaders is, what have they already got faith for? Because actually, there are multiple different ways that you could organize a particular church structure, that it's not like there's only one way, this is the right way, all other ways are wrong. There are multiple ways of doing that. But what do the leadership actually have faith for? And as I was listening to Steph and as he was explaining stuff, I realized he wasn't just expressing opinions. I felt like he had really got something from God. And so I just reflected that back to him. I just said, I really feel like you're hearing from God, and that you've really got faith for this new journey. And my counsel to you would be, I wouldn't engage this now. Go on holiday and pray about it. And if you come back from holiday having had that space just to think and to reflect, and you really feel a yes, then I'd go for it. And Steph went away, and the vision for what the future could look like didn't diminish. But it actually increased. And then mid-Jan, after I'd watched the glorious Proteus victory at Newlands, so I was in a very buoyant mood, I went with my whole family, all 5 of us, on the 4th day, 18 wickets in a day. It was incredible. My wife hardly ever goes to cricket, and I said to her, darling, it's always like this. And so just after that, met with Steph and with Glenn and Paul, and just chatted. Steph shared his heart, and we got to chat about it. The beautiful thing that I've had through all of these conversations with all of these guys is that the genesis of what's happening here is really born of the Spirit. It's not born out of frustration. And there's been a beautiful deference that each of these guys has to one another that is just really a wonderful thing. There hasn't been blood in the background, and now we're trying to manage a process because it just got really ugly. These guys love each other. There's been a tremendous amount of godliness and prayer, which for me has been really awesome, and a genuine desire for the common good to grow and to strengthen, and for the glory and frame of Christ to win in the end. And off the back of that meeting, it did seem this was right to us in the Holy Spirit. But then the next step was, actually, there's an eldership team that need to hear from Steph and actually discern that for themselves. So the next step was for the guys to chat to the whole eldership in terms of the way that they felt God leading them. And then there was a time for each congregational eldership team to have a moment of reflection, and then to come back as a whole eldership team and to decide, is this something that God's saying, or have we just really gone off course? And the beautiful thing is it was a unanimous decision amongst the elders that this is the right way to go. And you know, the Bible just says that, you know, where brothers dwell together in unity, God commands a blessing. I certainly haven't been the only person that this team has referenced. There have been other individuals that each one of these guys have spoken to and processed with. And the consensus from everybody is that we really do believe that this is the right thing to do. I just want to say, as somebody from the outside, I've been tremendously encouraged by the level of godliness, maturity, and mutual respect that exists amongst the guys that are leading these congregations. It really is a fantastic thing. And through this process, I really do want to honor Steph. I had quite a kind of a self-awareness moment when I got here just in time to see Steph and Kaz being prayed for to take on the leadership of New Gen, because in my own journey, I'd been handed the leadership of Jubilee when Simon, who was serving kind of translocally, was released to do that. But a year into that journey, he tragically had a heart attack and died. And I was pretty much almost exactly the same age as Steph. And like when you're young and God asks you just to do something, you just like, you're young enough just to say yes and you do it. And it was like a decade later. So like I'm a decade older now, and like Steph's the same age as me, kind of coming into the same responsibility. And coming in there, it was just like, I had no idea what was awaiting me, but actually God's grace was sufficient. If I knew how difficult it was going to be, I would have never have signed up for it, but I was naive enough not to know how difficult it was, and actually God's grace was sufficient. I just want to say, being in your early 30s and leading a large church where most of the elders are older than you, you haven't picked your own team, is hard. You like lose 6 years of your life, just disappears when other people don't have the weight of that responsibility. So the brief that these guys have been given has been massive. The brief that they had was harder than mine, because we weren't in a multi-site environment, which from a leadership perspective is more complex than just leading a single congregation. And my experience with dealing with younger guys is this. They just want to keep it to themselves. They're not yet secure enough in the love and the mercy and the grace of God to do this. They want to keep it tight. You know what it's like with your kids, right? You give them a toy when they're really young, and they don't want anybody else to play with it. Even if they're not playing with it, it's mine. The moment somebody else is interested in it, then they grab it to themselves. And then hopefully they mature out of that. I just want to commend you, Steph, because you have shown an amazing degree of maturity through this process to say, this whole gig doesn't belong to me. This isn't actually where my identity is. Actually, God, how have you graced me? Where do I feel the grace flow is? And I'm actually wanting to do this. And that's awesome. That is gospel. That is so mature. You shouldn't be doing that. You should be getting really frustrated and angry with these guys. And I should be doing behind the scenes, like personal reconciliation to try and keep you guys together. But I'm so glad that there's a different narrative, which I think is a win for Jesus and a win for the gospel and a win for the loss and in line with the Bible. So, dude, seriously, so well done. So well done. We don't see this in the world. People hold on. They don't release. But Paul said to the Ephesians elders, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And I honestly believe that through releasing, we're going to see tremendous, tremendous blessing in each one of the congregations, but in terms of the gospel advance within the Helderberg Valley, as I believe more congregations are going to be planted through the release of leadership. So firstly, pattern. Secondly, process. Thirdly, patience. Patience. There's one of two ways that you can lead. You can not really respect your congregation and only speak to them when you've got everything done. and you're the Moses. You just, you come down the mountain with the tablets and it's all worked out. This leadership team have trust you enough to bring you in without all the details being worked out. And I think they should be commended for respecting you and trusting you, that they actually want you to be a part of shaping what that future looks like. That is both beautiful but potentially frustrating, because anybody, as Steph's thinking, you probably got like 10, 20, what about this, what about this, what about this? And it's not that we're so dumb that we haven't thought about those questions yet, but we actually just want to hear the big thing first. We want to hear what God has said, and we want to paint the background, and we want to let the paint set before we paint the foreground. And so that's just going to require patience. And guess what? You know, I've already studied the Bible really carefully. We don't get a blueprint for exactly how this works out. So there's a gazillion decisions that are actually just personal preferences. They're not right or wrong. They're not good or bad. They're not sinful or righteous. There needs to be just a wisdom in the way we work things out. In chatting to the guys, there is a commitment from them that they're not just interested in their congregational good, but they are interested in the common good. And they've said to me, hey guys, we want to lean into generosity. That's the feel that we want. And so I just encourage all of you at this time, as we've got to work out the details and that, just keep that in. What's best for the whole, not just what's best for the congregation that I'm a part of? And how can we really express generosity? What does generosity look like and feel like? Because that's gospel. And we're not going to be able to outgive God. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And the final P is potential. And friends, the potential is really massive. And it's the potential that has motivated us and led us to walk this path. And the potential is not just that we see two new churches, autonomous churches started, but that actually we are looking to plant churches that will reproduce themselves, be that in other autonomous churches or in other sites. We're not married to one particular model. There are multiple models that God can use to advance his kingdom, but the way that we want to plant these things is that there's a reproducing passion and desire within them, because our vision is to really impact the Helderberg Valley with the good news of Jesus Christ, to see many, many disciples raised up. And in order for that to happen, we need to plant lots and lots of churches. And guess what? Actually, our vision isn't just for the Helderberg Valley. It's actually for the whole Greater Cape Town area. And guess what? It's not just the Greater Cape Town area. It's South Africa, and it's Africa, and it's the ends of the earth. And we need to see men and women raised up to say, I'm going to be a genuine follower of Christ. I'm going to roll up my sleeves and I'm going to get involved in this, not just for a season or for a moment, but for the rest of my life. Because our collective partnership in terms of planting and strengthening churches, we're already at the stage where we've got more churches than we have leaders. We've got situations where we want to do stuff, and if only we have people that would put up their hand and say, hey, we're going to do it. And friends, as we step out and believe God in this new season and trust that God's going to take us from being children to teenagers to parents, that he's going to mature us and use us to advance his kingdom, that's when the real fun stuff happens. And so what I want to ask you to do through everything that you've heard this evening is to mix it with faith and say to the Lord, Lord, I just want to say, here am I. I'm available to be used to advance your kingdom in the congregation that you placed me in. And for us to reach our redemptive potential, it requires each of us to be involved. And it requires us to see a tremendous multiplication of leadership right across the board. The vision that New Gen has got is not to begin as many Sunday matinees as possible, where people rock up to see a performance and then go home. That isn't the vision that we've got. We want to see disciples raised up, people who love Jesus and follow Jesus and obey Jesus and lay down their lives for his name. And so this isn't about our personal comforts, and it's not about our personal preferences. It is about the glory and fame of Jesus Christ. It's about advancing his kingdom. It's about teaching others to obey everything that he's commanded us, which means planting churches, preaching the Bible, being filled with the Spirit, being on mission with Jesus. And so to have a leadership to say, we actually believe this stuff and we're actually going to do it is awesome. It's awesome. It's fantastic. Yay. Thank you, Lord. This is a beautiful, beautiful new day in the life of the church. And I'm so excited and I want you to be excited and prayerful and committed because God is going to do glorious things in our day. I'm just so excited about it. I want to pray and then I'll hand back to Steph. Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you for the privilege of just being a part of this journey. I want to thank you for the men and women in these eldership teams who love you, who are men and women of faith and maturity. And Lord, I want to thank you for the beautiful maturity and deference that I've seen on display. I've seen evidence of the kingdom of God. Lord, I want to thank you for leadership boldness, to trust you for a new day. And Lord, we pray that you would bless this multiplication in extraordinary ways. Lord, we pray that new leaders would come to the fore. We pray that people would be saved. Lord, we pray that congregations would be multiplied. Lord, I pray that we'd be able to look back on this evening in the years to come and just really mark it as a significant moment in the life of this church and gospel partnership in the Helderberg Valley. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Steve. I think it's just worth mentioning that Steve doesn't have to do this. He doesn't get paid for this. He could be at home with his family tonight, spending time with them. He could be picking his fantasy league team for the weekend. But instead, he's with us. And I think that meeting that we had with him on the Monday, it was more like 7 hours. I mean, it was it brought him to life, but it was brutal. I mean, he still had to drive through the traffic to get back home. And whenever I phone Steve, he picks it up straight away. It's not like a battle to get hold of him. The point I want to make is that you've made yourself available to us. You've served us, and we want to appreciate you and say thank you so much. And the wisdom that you've brought has been key and has been amazing, and we're so grateful for it. And I think we need to just bring a bigger context. For those of you that don't know, we're a part of a movement called Advance. We knit into it through the relationships we have with guys like Steve and Jubilee and Rigby and Sue in Common Ground and other churches across the country. And it's a network across the globe. It's a movement that spans across the globe. And so while you can go and look at advancedmovement.com or .org, I never can remember, and you can see all the statements and the white paper in the background there, it's moments like this where tacky hits the road, where we come and where we see the value of this kind of thing and the value of what we're doing together. And then in conjunction with that, Steve's not joking, there's lots of churches out there that need leaders. And so through the course of the coming weeks and coming months, we're talking, actually I am on Sunday, we're talking about where we step into and what we can do in terms of actioning the more that God has for us as communities, you know. And so I just want you to know and understand that in each one of our churches, in Stellenbosch, Liberty, and Somerset West, there's this space that we're longing for guys to step into, and we're longing for more and more people to step into the more. And sometimes people aren't doing it, maybe because you think you need permission for that. And consider tonight permission. Come and speak to your leaders. Come and share your dreams and your desires. Let them be honest with you and let them try and facilitate some of that, because, guys, the task is massive, but we need to do it together. We need a team together. And I want to call each and every one of you to come and to step into the next thing that God has for you in order to meet the promise and the potential of fruitfulness that God has for us as a community. We need people to step into the gap and do that. And then just understanding that you guys are the the first that are hearing the broader narrative and the broader picture of what's going on, what God is doing. When we sat with Steve as an eldership last year, he said, "What are you believing for?" And it's time to change the narrative. And so we're stepping into that. We're believing God for more, but we're also changing the narrative of looking out, looking further, looking longer. And we need your help in managing that. As we share this and as we roll this out, there may be those that will be like, "Oh, why would we do this?" And that's an opportunity for you to step in and to come and say, "This is a good thing." And I want to encourage you to help us do that and help create a positive narrative around this. And then, lastly, and perhaps most importantly to some of you, luckily I'm not of those that drink coffee and that have this propensity to go and worship at the coffee machine. But for those of you that are here early tomorrow morning, there are free cappuccinos available for you. And so we kick off at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning, but cappuccinos finish at 8:55. If you get here before then, and there's going to be a rush. So if you come at 8:50, there's going to be like 100 people standing there. Get here early. Come get a cappuccino. We kick off officially tomorrow at 9, but we want to get going at 9. And inevitably, guys come late, and so we're bribing you. We're shameless. We're going to get you here with coffee because we know that's what you guys like. That's what you guys run after. And so we're going to get you here one way or another. And then just to say that we've got the incredible privilege of getting someone else from Jubilee here tomorrow. Some of you may remember Lex Loides. And he's coming and he's sharing on the advance of the church through the ages and our part in that. Incredibly exciting. And then he's also going to come and share some of his testimonies around the gospel advancing on a personal level through healing and through God using him in that space. And so, won't you come and join us tomorrow? Get your mates here, get your early, get a coffee. And on that note, God bless you all. Have a great evening.